This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ.
Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't I get a rope and hang me?
Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late.
It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way.
Yeah. All right, it's been a couple weeks, so we got to get the chef on here. So, well, she's going to be pissed because I called him twice and hung up on him. Here he comes.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on, birthday boy?
I can't get my speaker on.
Can you hear me? No? I can hear you. Turn the volume up.
I don't know what the fuck's wrong.
You can't hear me?
Man, come on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just don't have my speaker on.
Oh, does it cramp your mojo?
It does. Seriously cramps my mojo.
You want to know, but the audio sounds better when you don't do it through your speaker.
Well, by gosh, you got me today.
You sound like Kimmy Big Pipes.
I am Kimmy Big Pipes today. I was wondering if you remember what my voice was like.
Well, it's been a while, yes?
Yeah, couple weeks.
No, normally we don't go
just
that long.
My birthday yesterday, no card, no money.
I thought you were...
No airplane.
I know.
I mean,
it's how I am.
Not even a paper airplane. I know that's how you roll, though.
But I got confused because I thought you were, because you were gone last Friday, I thought that was your birthday. How many birthdays do you have?
20.
Are you like Catherine? You have a lot of birthdays? Are you that guy?
Well, actually, my 75th birthday lasted a week. And it was quite spectacular.
So what did you, so tell us about your birthday.
Well, Beth baked some monster cupcakes that are hollowed out and filled with a coconut cream, and then the frosting was a cream cheese coconut frosting.
Okay, hold on. When you say monster cupcake, what do you mean? You don't normally say stuff like that.
She has these cupcake tins that are like double the size of a regular cupcake.
Oh,
and they're big suckers.
What do you... Oh, the tin is?
The tin that they're made in.
I was thinking it was the paper that was too big, was twice the size. I was going to say, what the hell do you put them in? Do they make, like, cupcake thingies for that?
You can get large pans to bake them in with large little paper cups that go in the large pans. And she knocked it out of the park.
So I want to ask you, so let's talk about that. Last night I go to a thing here in D.C. I got honored as one of the top 100 veterans by this organization, which I'm more than happy to.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But first kind of thing I've ever been to. like this, like a big formal thing, although I did not wear a tux. And so we, I see this woman that I've interviewed. Her name's Megan Ogilvy. She's the CEO of something called Dog Tag Bakery in Georgetown. And
yes.
So, Megan and I and my date, Susan, we're in a bar outside, it's around the block from where we were. It's like kind of like a speakeasy. You walk around this corner and you go down a flight of stairs. And it's kind of
like
old school kind of speakeasy, blah, 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 blah. Very cool. And it's a block from the White House. You walk out of the front, you walk out of the door and you look across Lafayette Park at the White House, Washington Monument in the background of that. And then if you could see it on the far side of that would be the Jefferson Memorial, but you can't see that. So anyway, we're talking to Megan about, I'm not really, but my date, she eats cupcakes. She likes cupcakes. And so she fired down six giant cupcakes about a month ago. And so she's asking Megan about what kind of cupcakes. Like, do you make really healthy, low cal cupcakes? And Megan says, "No, we're full body, full body bakery. Okay, you come in, you're gonna get butter."
Yes,
thank you. He's like, you know what word popped into my mind when I heard that? Testify. Last thing anybody wants to hear when they walk into a bakery is low-cal, right?
Yeah, give me a vegan, gluten-free, no-sugar cupcake. What the fuck am I doing in here?
Exactly. You're in the wrong house.
You're in the wrong house, baby.
That is funny. And so, they were funny. That was funny.
Good for you. Congratulations on your award.
Yeah, you know what? It was cool, you know, and being in a company of other people that are trying to do it. And it's funny because Megan, what they do, what the bakery is, in conjunction with Georgetown, it's its own little mini school for entrepreneurs. And what they do is you take business classes at Georgetown and you come and you work at the bakery and you learn how to run a business. And it doesn't matter if you're going to go, it doesn't matter the genre of the business, right? You got to learn about overheads. You got to learn about, customer service. You got to learn about accounting, all the stuff that goes into being a business owner. Yeah, so
that's right.
So that's what Megan does. Megan does that, and they take veterans and veteran spouses, and they put them through their dog tag bakery, and so it's
brilliant.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. And so we were talking, and she said, "You need to come talk." I said, "Well, I can talk, but you need to learn how to be poor if you want to start a business." And she started laughing. She said, "That's no kidding. Everybody thinks they got a plan." I said, "Yeah, everybody thinks they got a plan." And then somebody quits, and then the sales forecast don't hit their mark. And then what you're learning how to do is, how long can I delay paying my phone bill until they shut off my phone?
Okay? Yeah.
And the only way you know that is if your phone actually gets shut off. So you have to know, that's how you learn when to say when. And if you do that, when do they shut the electricity off? When do they shut the gas off? When they do that, that's how you know the actual dates, okay? And that's how you know how long you can stretch it. So you can stretch a month of revenue over the course of 2 months if you have to. And then when you get the money, then you can catch back up. But, if you don't think that's how if you don't think that's how small businesses start, you're crazy, right? And so look, it's, and now, thank God, knock on wood, Almarine Radio and post-traumatic winning and that whole thing, it's getting up and it's getting going. But I'm going to tell you, there were times over the course of these 3 years where it was dark. And
very dark for you, I could tell it.
I call it Kim. era, but you lived that, right? The entrepreneur, the American dream, owning your own business, right?
A couple of times, losing everything a couple of times, and you just dust it up, dust it off, and say, here we go again. I'm gonna make it in this business. And when I came here, I finally hit, well, I hit the big casino a couple of times, but not with before a few failures. The restaurant I had before here, I came here, was a monster hit, but I got divorced, and then I came to Grand Forks.
So the monster, that was the breakfast place, right?
Yeah, breakfast and dinners. I only did two meals. The only reason I did dinners because Officer and a Gentleman was filmed in Port Townsend, and they wanted a pasta place. So I opened with these individual deep dish pizzas and pastas with about 10, 15 sauce, different sauce. And these Hollywood people would come in, they'd look at my menu, and then they'd make their own dish. And my servers would come back and says, they want to add the artichokes and this and that and make their own pasta. I says, do it. I got all the fixings. I can do it. Just make sure you double the bill. And they didn't give a shit. They thought that I was cheap. So, okay. I can live with that. Oh, God. I have some great stories from when they were in here.
What was the most difficult thing? Relative to starting a business, from your perspective?
Being undercapitalized, not having enough money to open your business,
and then
enough to open the business, and then try and make your payrolls and your taxes. I mean, there are so many. Cost to starting a business, you know, you have to collect the payroll taxes every week. You have to report them to the feds. You have to pay local taxes, state taxes, federal taxes. You have this myriad of taxes and bills coming in. Paying for the pasta, paying for the sauce, you know, the raw ingredients.
Right.
And they're always going up. So there's a whole bunch of stuff you have to learn. But I would say going into a business, you have to have enough money to start up and to cover your ass for 2 or 3 months with all the bills until you get your feet going and you have cash flow. Until that time, you're on borrowed time. And that's what I noticed
most. Most companies start out on borrowed time, right?
Yes, they don't have enough money.
Right. And then so that's when they start, and then it gets worse, right? And then that's when you see what. When everybody goes out of business. Like, screw this, man.
You know this guy that bought my building?
Yes.
That I sold to on contract for deed.
Right.
He was undercapitalized.
Right.
And he called me January and says, I'm going to have to go out of business.
Oh.
So I found somebody to buy up his contract. And he made a deal with them for rent. And this guy gave up his rights to the building to this new person. And now I get my checks every month, and he's successful. And he's getting caught up.
So it's a new restaurant in there?
No, it's the same restaurant, same owner, but he doesn't own the building anymore. Somebody else does, he rents from them.
I got it. All right. I understand.
So, I mean, he's got saved, you know. He had a wife who works in the business and two little kids, 35 years old. I mean, you know, that's when I got back from Europe, and I was 33, I think it was. But, yeah, it's, it's difficult to open a small business. And you get no breaks from the feds whatsoever as far as taxes or the state, nobody, or the city, nobody. They want their money. And they get first count. Pricks.
Always, man. Always.
Yes.
So,
yep.
Anyway, what was a part of business that you disliked the most? The business, not the restaurant business, but business.
The books, doing the books every day, matching the tickets that the servers turned into, the tickets that they turned into the kitchen, make sure nobody was taking money. And that everything balanced out. That was the hardest part. And then, of course, I had an account. I paid an accountant to do my taxes and stuff because that was just too overwhelming for me. In a restaurant situation like that, where I was in on Third Street by Last Sanders, the bookkeeping stuff. That's hard, man. That's the hardest part of owning a business.
That every day. Now they have let me ask you this: they have services that do now, you know, not they used to be a lot more expensive, but now they have services that do that stuff. They you know, between QuickBooks and linking what you're doing at your site to, you know, a business, they can and they're not outrageously expensive, but you want to go with somebody who's quality. That's changed a lot in terms of outsourcing that. You used to have to hire people to do that.
Not when I started.
Oh, really?
When I started, you either had game or you didn't.
You either did. You did it on your own.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. And then when I moved back here, I guess I'd been here about 10 years when the people started coming in. I hired a bookie to do my payroll and my taxes. Actually, I did the payroll for the first 5 years, and then I hired an accountant to do the payroll. And I got my first time clock, made everybody punch in. Oh, did they hate me? And that's how I had to tighten it up. But then those services came in that would do everything. All you had to do was focus on running your restaurant. And now they have computer programs where you can punch in the raw cost of something, like lettuce, romaine lettuce, and it'll break down what that salad costs. You know, the radishes, the tomatoes, the cucumbers, whatever. I mean, you have to do it that fine now. You have to cut it that close.
Really? And, you know, that's also what you and I talked about this years ago in the in the bar business. Now they have, what do they call those things? The computers that pour drinks as opposed to bartenders that just... bartenders that give you a little extra juice. Here's one for the Pope. You don't have that anymore. Well, you can opt that. You can opt for a system that allows a computer to pour the drink, and that's how you know exactly what you're getting out of every bottle.
Yeah, and they have counters on the pours. Now, when I worked in Switzerland, I had to pay the hotel for the bottle of booze, and they charged me what each drink was, so much, say $10. And you got 17 drinks out of a bottle. And that's an ounce and a half. They would give you two drinks for spillage or whatever you want to do, but they charged you for the rest, $10 times 15. And so, this is back in the 70s. So I would pay them that, and I went to bartending school in Switzerland for 2 years, 2 weeks before I could run the bar. And boy, I knew how to free pour an ounce and a half, and I never was wrong. I was never wrong. And, you know, the first time I ran the bar, the hotel owner says, well, how many bottles of tequila do you want? There was no tequila in Fengen, Switzerland, in 26 bars. And I says, well, I need at least a case. And he laughed at me and he says, Kim, my father started this restaurant in 1907 in this hotel, and we haven't sold a case of anything. I'll get you three bottles. So he got me three bottles of tequila. 2 days later, I says, Herr Bruin, I need tequila. He says, let me see your book. So I had to give him my receipt book, and we went down, and we matched up everything, the drinks, and the prophet, he just shaking his head. And I said, can I have a case now? He says, nah, I'll let you have six bottles. And I got his daughter involved, who was actually running the operation. And I said, Margaret, you got to tell your dad to lighten up. And he wanted me to charge 3 francs, 30 centimes for a beer. And I says, no, I want to do volume. I want to charge 3 francs. $2.50. That way we get two beers out of a 5 franc piece. And with a shot of tequila, we're in the front row. I went through 10 cases my first winter in Vangen when I was running the bar at night.
So wait a minute, were you teaching them how to drink tequila? Did you have a tequila drinking event? What was going on?
I tell you what I did. You know those glass boots that the Germans drink beer out of? And you have to drink it very cautiously because when there's, it holds a liter. And then when you turn the toe, you know, it could, if you drink it too fast, you'll get splashed on. Half the thing will come on your face. So I used to get ski schools. I knew the first year I got to know all the ski instructors. And they'd bring their schools by, and we'd fix the boot with a tequila sunrise in it. And they'd pass it around with the class to their classmates. And they'd all go out of the bar crushed. And that's how I sold 10 cases. And then a lot of beer with a shot of tequila with the limes. They'd never had that many limes in Bangin ever. And the salt and just straight shots. That was it. But yeah, you have to, today they have counters on the bottles or the drinks pour an ounce. You set them for how much you want them to pour, an ounce, ounce and a quarter, ounce and a half. And it counts them. And then it you can read it out every night.
How, so let me ask this. So, we're talking about entrepreneurs, and Kim certainly was one. What do you say to people that come to you and want to talk about starting their own business? Do you give any advice?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
You better have enough money, number one. It didn't matter what the business is.
Because Kim, I mean, most businesses aren't capitalized enough. I won't say not nearly enough, but you know, most businesses are certainly undercapitalized, and that's kind of the way.
Yeah.
You know, that's the going in proposition. Or they'll give you, guilty with an explanation, right? Well, yeah, we think we're capitalized, and here's how, like, and you look at their business plan, you're like, well, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And if you don't get any revenue for how many days, can you make it?
Yes.
They look at you and go, what? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you have to ask those questions. Anybody who has the balls to start their own business deserves all the help they can get. And you answer any questions they have. You answer questions that they don't ask, that they should ask. you just tell them that it's not easy, but the reward is you look in the mirror every day and say, hello, boss. Or, F you, boss.
You know what I'm saying? One of the two.
I couldn't work for anyone. I'm just too opinionated. I've always been that way. I learned that attitude when I was in Switzerland and Italy working, especially Switzerland. And when I came back here, it was not easy. And my first business was a little deli in Leavenworth, Washington, named after the mountain I worked at under. And I bought a case, an old refrigerator case, refinished it, and I made my own, bought a cookbook, made my own soups and sandwiches, and sold, went over to Seattle once a month to get my cheeses. And I roasted my own meats, and but it was just me. I was the only one in the shop. I did it all. So, I didn't have a credit card machine. I took cash only. that's another way you can make it. Helps to make it, because you get first count when you
explain
do a cash only business.
Explain first count. Explain first count.
Well, you know, first count means at the end of the day, you get to count the money first, and you get to see put so much towards taxes, so much towards payroll, so much towards food costs, so much towards utilities, and so much in your pocket if there's any left over. Now, when I came back here to help Bob reopen Sanders after he got it back in 1985, he owned a building on the corner where the Urban Stampede is now, the coffee shop.
Right.
So I gave me a room up there, and I didn't take, I came in October. My first year, I reported, about $8,000 income.
Nice.
And I thought that was pretty good. but we ate and drank through the restaurant. There was no money to go out, no money to do anything. You know, we got a little, you know, $100 a week each, and that was it. And we were open 5 days a week. And then when I bought them out, I went to the bank, and I said, I want to buy Bob out. This is what he wants for the building, and he gave me half the business when I came back here to help him reopen it and be the chef. And so he wanted to sell the building and his half of the restaurant. So I had a banker that I knew who used to come for the roast duck. He said, well, I'll carry it contract for deed. I said, no, you're not, Bob. I says, I'm going to go to the bank and see if I can get all the money to cash you out. He says, I lived here my whole life. You can't do that. So I went to this banker, and I said, I want to buy Bob out. He says, well, how much money you got down? I said, none. Normally you have to pay 20% down to go to a bank to start a business to get the rest of the money. I said, no. He said, well, what do you got down payment? I said, me. I'm the down payment. And he says, otherwise, I got to close the restaurant down. He says, who's going to cook my roast caraway duck? And I said, well, I'll give you the recipe. He says, how much you need? I told him. He gave it to me. I went back and told Bob. He says, I don't believe you. I want to hear it from the banker. So the next day, we went into the banker and told him the same story that I told Bob, I'm the down payment. And he said, yeah, Kim's got the money. He's going to cash you out. You can go buy a resort in Minnesota. So I did, and I paid him off. But I only had, I did all the work. I did everything. And the office was under the, you never saw, you came after the flood, but the office was in the basement under the stairway. This little I had to duck under the stairway to get behind the desk. But that it was a great experience, one of the best I've ever had.
So you, so bottom line though is that you encourage other people to go into business on their own.
Absolutely, I 100% encourage it, but understand the pitfalls and the struggle you're going to have the first 5 years, 3 to 5 years, to get the juices flowing and the cash flowing and everything else. And if you have a passion for something, you should certainly follow it. And it doesn't matter what kind of business. If you have a business plan and some money saved up for a down payment, and today you can go to a bank and say, I want, this is my business plan. I have, this is what I think I need. You tell me what I need. And I'll tell you whether I can go into business.
Yeah, but you know, here's what I hear. So,
it might be $1,000. It might be $10,000. I don't know.
Yeah, normally most people walk out of the bank with nothing. And they're like, all right, well, that didn't go the way I planned, because the bank looks in and they start quoting all their formulas, right? Well, you need this,
yep,
this, this, and so you're going to need $90,000. What?
Yes.
I got 12. Oh, yeah, we're sorry. Well, after you've been in business then a little bit, and then you need a loan, please come back. Like, okay, well, there's no risk at that point, right? Yes, of course. That's why we'll do business with you.
Well, that's the rap with banks.
Right.
They loan money they don't need. I was fortunate in Grand Forks when I started the Sanders that you knew on South 3rd Street. Well, no, you knew the one by the, by where Play It Again Sports was.
Right, the store. Well, we met. But I never ate in there. I never went in there other than to borrow that screwdriver. That's the only time I was ever in that place.
Yeah, well, I made up for it.
Well, yeah, exactly. No, the, Kim and I met. His store was downtown. His restaurant was downtown. And I was running a Play It Again Sports store at the south end of the town that was pretty dry relative to the flooding that happened in the town. And so, so Kim, I needed a screwdriver one day before I opened. So I walked down, I was asking the hearing doctor, hey, you got a screwdriver? No. So I kept walking, and the only other person that was in their joint was Kim, and I'd never even been in the restaurant. So I kind of stuck my head in. I said, anybody here? And I hear, yeah. And I meet Kim. Hi. Can I borrow a screwdriver? He said, yeah, I got one over here. So he gave me a screwdriver. And that's, but I never ate in the restaurant, although I was near it every day for over a year. And I never ate there because I thought it was too big time for me. I struggled.
No, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I was just a struggling dad trying to move my family to North Dakota and live the good life, right?
Yes. Well, you have a beautiful family, and you certainly did, right?
Well, I will say this.
My requirement at Sanders was you had to have a dress code. They said, do you have a dress code in there? Because they're all thinking I'm, you know, real fancy dancy. I said, yeah, we have a serious one. You have to wear clothes. And that was it. I don't care what you wore, but you have to have your shirt and pants.
Something. Got to wear something.
That's it. Got to wear something.
How
funny.
Here's an email for you. Mac, interesting study on being an entrepreneur. I've thought about it several times. It sounds appealing to me, but it does sound like there is a ton of stress that goes with it. How have both of you coped with the stress that goes with it? Kim, how did you cope with the stress? So Kim starts a restaurant. How many different restaurants you start in your life?
One, two, three, four, six.
Six restaurants he started in his life.
So one of them was a total flop.
How did you deal with the stress that came with it?
Well, I embraced it. I look forward to going to work every morning. It's a way of life for me.
Right.
And that's exactly what it has to be, is a way of life for you. You have to look and embrace your business.
That's interesting.
And you can't be intimidated by it. What the hell are you doing in business if you hate it? You love what you do, and you're the luckiest person in the world, man or woman.
But
if
you're
doing a business,
okay, but let me ask you this. So the only thing you ever want to do is be a cook, right? I mean, that's you want
to
be in the so that's your thing. A lot of people are starting businesses, right, for profit reasons.
Yes.
So, and I draw a parallel to me. I'm doing what I love and what I find meaningful.
Yes.
And let me tell you, in the last few years, I've got my electricity shut off. In fact, I should say this, but sometimes when I say the power, we had a power outage here. It wasn't a power outage. It was me getting my electricity shut off, and it took me an hour to turn it back on. Right?
Yes.
It's not always pleasant. How did you cope with that stuff?
I was very blessed in Grand Forks to have a great banker who sometimes, when I was starting out on 3rd Street with my last restaurant, it was a little tight. I was a little bit undercapitalized. And they just would loan me another $25,000, but it's stressful. But when you love what you're doing, you deal with the stress, and you know you're doing the right thing by doing what you like to do. It can be brutal for you. And if you're sensitive, and even though I'm sensitive for a big guy, I absolutely love the business, but you have to follow some principles of, having enough money to start a business. Knowing a banker, if you know a banker, that'll make it a little easier.
And he likes your roast caraway duck. Hello.
You're damn right. And if it wasn't for him, he ended up getting in trouble.
We hate that.
Nice guy. He was a nice guy. It just depends how much you want it and if you love it enough to go chase it. And if you do, and if there's a family involved, they all have to buy in. They all have to understand the pitfalls and the rewards if it's a monetary thing. But everybody usually has to do some kind of work in the business involved. If it's a mom and pop operation or a mom or a pop operation.
All of the above. No, it's all it's all hands on deck, right? Everybody got to.
Yes,
everybody ropes, everybody rides. So no, it's just interesting when people talk about starting businesses all the time, right?
Yes.
And I look, it's not for the faint of heart, but if you love what you do, right?
Yes.
If you love what you do, and you find a way to get to your audience, that's the other hard thing, is getting to your audience, especially, for me starting out, to build it from nothing.
Yes.
And it...
Well, you and it, amazing.
What's that?
you get major kudos for doing what you've done from scratch. It's just mind-blowing. And the service that you're doing for vets and the military is just goes beyond words. It's something that, you know, of course you're very proud of doing and contributing. But it was not easy. But you're doing something you love. Am I right?
Yeah,
I'm right.
You don't need me to say. You know what I mean? You know you don't need me to tell. But
I know what you're doing. I'm just being silly.
But you know what? That's why I said, I mean, what you and I have in common is that, you know, we've both done things that we're passionate about. And if that's
yes.
not a part of the equation, then I think the equation looks different, right? The equation looks a little bit different. So, I just think that's a piece of the equation is how much, I mean, are you willing to not go on vacation for years? Are you willing to not have very nice stuff for years in order to make it go? And, you know, I think a lot of people would say, screw that, man, I'm out. Because it's too hard for too long. It's too hard for too long. So
if you don't like it,
yeah,
but you've got to love it and embrace it, and then you have a shot. That's the a big deal. That and the green energy, the money.
Yeah. No. Without a doubt, in my opinion, anyway. It is that love and your passion is a component of the business. And so if you, for instance, if you've gone around and evaluated, you know, businesses and say, okay, I've decided I'm going to get one of those haircut places.
Yeah.
But that's not your passion. I would tell you that's when it gets really hard. I mean, are you going to jettison the idea of it all? Because it's like, I didn't grow up wanting to be a barber. That's not my thing. So I don't know. I think that's a passion of it. Here's another question.
Yes.
How long had Kim been established in his community before people starting to respond to his roast caraway duck and his financial request?
It happened within the first 2-3 years, say, to be conservative. I would say between 2.5 and 3 years is when I started hitting my stride and filling the restaurant. As soon as people knew I was buying Bob out of his share of the business, this town embraced me wholeheartedly. They knew I wasn't going anywhere. They knew I wanted to be a part of the community. And then I got involved with Community Violence Intervention Center. I got involved with UND Sports and sponsored that stuff. Put a lot of money in and did a lot of benefits for the Community Violence Intervention Center.
So everybody knows, it's a domestic violence organization.
Domestic violence.
Yeah, in the area. So
yes, I got involved in the community. That also helps.
Well, you know what? I think it goes back to, you know, that whole thing. The more I give of myself,
yes,
right,
yes,
for some reason, the better this thing becomes. And I can't explain to you why it works like that, but I could tell you that most of us have experienced it. When you go out of your way for the people, when you care about them, when you help them, for whatever reason, it just seems to come back to you. And
what goes around comes around.
Yeah, it's you know, you would think it wouldn't necessarily be like that, but my experience is that it is.
I do want to say one thing about somebody who wants to be their own boss. Say, I want to buy a franchise.
Right.
Whether it's a Chipotle or a McDonald's, a Dairy Queen. It does not matter. You will have to get behind the counter of any joint you run And you only have to be a good accountant, a bean counter. And if you buy a franchise, they will give you a formula of how to make money. And if you stick with that formula, you will be a success. But you still have to be the person out front, the go-to guy. You have to hire and fire. And that used to be brutal for me. It got easier as the years went by. but it wasn't, I didn't like to fire anybody because I figured, well, if you want to work here, you're going to buy into my program. You love what I do as much as I do, and that's not the case, you know. And so I made my adjustments and gave him my, I know this is just a stop on the highway of life rap, and, but you better work your ass off like this is your final destination. And then when you graduate, you'll have a work ethic because otherwise you won't last long here. And I got good results with my crew. I took good care of them. And that's another thing. You know, that's a factor that you have to think about if it's going to be more than a mom-and-pop operation. Okay.
So when you hear somebody with a business plan that says, yeah, I'm not going to be there and I won't be, you know, I'll come by every once in a while, but somebody else is going to run it. Do you wince when you hear that?
Yeah, I do. I wince. I said, oh, it's just another greedy bastard. and that really it bothers me because if you're going to put money on the line and you're going to expect other people to work, you sure in the heck better participate in that business. It's one thing when you get to be older towards retirement age and you've trained your people and then you stop in and do a little FaceTime with everybody. That's another program. But to start it, you have to be there. And unless it's one of those businesses, you know, like a telemarketing business, who cares? You know, you're not having any visual contact with anything. So, yeah, there are lots of ways to have small businesses, but I only can speak from a personal experience of getting involved with my guests and doing community service like you do now.
I'm being hands, but you're there every day. You're making food. No. You're the man. You're the hands-on guy. I've never been able to borrow any money from anybody, right? I mean, you want to do what? Well, wait a minute. And I'll tell you what. In spite of the fact that, I spent, I don't know, 10 years of my life doing radio. I've won national awards for doing it. You're not going to bank anything on that. Okay, well, that's great. You know, and what you're hoping to do is find somebody who maybe has got a soft spot in their heart, but most of those are going to be private investors. You know, and for me,
yes.
I mean, I wouldn't be here today if it were not for Bob Nielsen, who is, in fact, one of the women I met last night, her name's Megan Ogilvie, who's really funny,
yeah.
who runs the bakery, right? Megan, who runs the bakery. So that's how Bob heard about All Marine Radio. And he had come back from Vietnam, and this is really cool. And they didn't talk about it. And he said, these guys are talking about it. And so he called me up, and he was all over it with nothing but encouragement for me and then ultimately financial support. And to me, that's the only door that got open for me is that, you know, I pitched it to a few people and they were like, yeah, sorry. You know, it just sounds too, doesn't sound solid enough. I think it's good. You know, it's a great idea. I think it's really cool. But in terms of putting money there, I just don't see how it works. And so it went. So then you self-fund it, right? On your retirement, and you live like a pauper. You have people. Hey, people get in my pickup truck, and they're like, "Why is your windshield got all these cracks in it?" And I say, "It's a pickup truck, man." That's like, I mean, all pickup trucks have cracks in them. Don't you know anything about pickup trucks? Like, this is not a, this is not a sissy boy pickup truck, right? It's a man's pickup truck. That's why those cracks are in there. You got it? And they just look. I'm like, well, the real reason is, I can't pay that money right now. Yeah, why doesn't Jack, Colleen tells me she thinks Jack's sick, he needs to go to the vet. That's $120, Colleen. Jack will go to the morgue before he goes to the vet. She's like, Dad! I said, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Jack knows the rules.
Yeah.
So, Colleen's up in Sacramento this week. Yeah, she's like a pretend medical professional at school. It's like young medical aspiring doctors and nurses and stuff. They have this association, and they have to wear slacks and a coat to school. She's like, God, I feel like such a dork. I said, you look like a dork. And but they went on the bus or something up to, they fundraised and went up on a bus to Sacramento, and we're going to, you know, go see some hospitals and be involved with this group of students that are aspiring medical professionals and so whatnot. So Dr. Colleen. Colleen, yeah, water polo player. She's not going
to go into medicine?
She doesn't know. She decided that she doesn't want to play volleyball anymore. She's like, Dad, I'd rather play club water polo and then play water polo. I like water polo. I'm like, whoa, think you're a badass. Wannabe badass. So anyway, so yeah, so cool. Here's another entrepreneurship question. I'm sitting here laughing. This is not the kind of stuff that you hear on those infomercials. Yeah, no shit, it's not, right?
Oh, God. I'm laughing hard when I see those infomercials, like you buy my book and you can be an investment millionaire. I did it in 1 year.
Yeah, all you got to do is add water. They don't work like that. You know why they're making all those commercials? Because saps buy that shit and finance them. But then other people, the people that can do well out of the chute, if you're well capitalized, right, you buy a nice storefront at the right spot, right, you got a good product. Right? Those are people that are well capitalized. Most businesses don't start like that. They do not start.
You know what? My three most successful businesses, I owned the building. I didn't have to pay rent. I can't tell you what a difference that makes. I don't care if it's a little storefront and I lived upstairs.
Well, wait a minute. What's the difference whether you pay a mortgage or you pay rent? What's the difference? You're still paying.
Yeah, you're paying mortgage, but you own the building. And when it comes time for you to retire or you want to do a bigger building, you have something to sell.
Oh.
That's why every time you pay rent, you put your money in a little pile. And then you light it, and it goes poof. It burns right the fuck up. It's gone. But if you own the building, you still get to look at that money. And that money increases over the years.
Listen to you.
So my recommendation, first of all, is if you want to have a little storefront, listen, you can go to anywhere and buy a little storefront. It could be on the edge of the ghetto. That would be A-okay with me. Because if you don't have a good product, all of a sudden you find, oh, look at that business across the street. Whoa, they just opened up. Man, all right.
Why are all those fat people standing outside that building?
Yeah. Oh, they want a Kimmy burrito, baby. They want a divine dog. You know, it doesn't matter. And oh, God. What's that line? It's a tax somebody who does taxes? Oh, an accountant. Oh, okay. I'll check that out and see what they're, how much they charge. It doesn't matter. But if you own your property, you're not burning the money up every month. That's what rent does. And that's what I see is your competitive edge is to own the space that you have your business in. And you'll be a happy camper, much happier. Because then, you know, you just, you have something to sell when it's time to do something else, if that's the way you want it. Yeah, I never wanted to do that anything else.
All right, the, so, I just searched for pictures of you. And whoa. I found one of your skinny pictures. Look at that. You look like Twiggy, for God's sake. That ain't right. That ain't right. The, hey, and you got a tie on.
Yeah?
It's a CVIC. It might be a board picture at CVIC.
Yeah, it's a Jerry Garcia tie.
It doesn't matter, man. Didn't see it very often.
Nah. I've had my time with ties until I learned how to dress funk chic.
Funk chic. All right, any parting advice for entrepreneurs before I let you go?
Research. Research the heck out of it.
And then after you decide to do it anyway, right, get ready to live poor.
Yes.
Get ready to be poor.
Eat a lot of hot dogs or spaghetti and meatballs. Spaghetti and potato sauce.
A little macaroni and cheese, right?
Cheese out of a box. And not trying to be discouraged, but understand the pitfalls when you open a new business. But if you have the cojones to do your own joint, no matter what it is, number one, try and buy the building that the business is going to be in. And number two, get ready for the ride and enjoy it. And really enjoy it.
As much
even
as
tough.
But I will tell you this, if you love it like Kim loved his craft,
oh.
I loved it, right? And I, yes. You know, I love it. It's my passion. And
yes,
and so if it's all worth it. I mean, some days are tough, and it's like, I'd really like to go out to dinner. I'd really like to be able to take my kids out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I'll tell you what, the other thing it is, it's humbling. You know, you want to swallow your pride a little bit and ask people for favors and whatnot. You're going to business for yourself, undercapitalized. And let me tell you, and most businesses do. Most businesses do, and that's my point. But just know that, you know, ain't too proud to beg.
No, and I've been humbled a lot in my time. But if you know you're doing the right thing, then you stick with it. You swallow your pride and you suck it up and go for it. And you can do it.
Yeah.
You could do it.
You could do it.
You could be somebody. Right? You're just going to be sad some days. But that's okay. If you do your breathing exercises and you drink a little bit, we'll all get through this shit.
It's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. The only other thing.
Are you in D.C. now?
I am. I am in Crystal City right now. Okay. Stone throw from the Pentagon. Stone throw from the Potomac.
I live in Alexandria.
Oh, there you go. Going to go have dinner at the Ruth Chris Steakhouse here.
You are?
Yeah. I love Ruth Chris. Not everybody does. I do. I'll tell you what, I love their cheesecake.
Yeah.
I love their cheesecake. And my buddy, who's an assistant football coach at San Diego State, they would take the recruits there. And so I was staying with him, I don't know, when I was, you know, when I was out in California, my family was in North Dakota, and he would come home from these recruiting things, and he'd put a piece of cheesecake in the refrigerator. Oh, I'd hammer that shit. He'd get up, and you'd hear, all of a sudden, I'd be out in the backyard or something, and you'd hear this, "Not, damn it!" I said, "Are you okay?" He's like, "Who ate the cheesecake?" I said, "I don't know. It must be one of your kids." He goes, "Quit lying." I'm like, "All right, it was me." So and they serve their steaks really hot. I like that. So
oh yeah,
and then
cook them in like 100 degree broiler.
Is that what they do? Because yeah. They come out smoking.
Now heat comes from the top.
Oh really?
All the big time steakhouses have boilers.
Well,
and
I'm a
put
fan.
The stove in and push it in, and the heat comes from the top. Pull it out, flip it over.
But let me just over. So I mean, I'll eat the steak to get to the cheesecake. That's how I. That's how I go to Ruth's Chris.
by the way,
yes.
They're serving this week as a special. Why they don't do this all the time? Skies, my old joint, my crew. I went in for my birthday dinner and I wanted a ribeye with béarnaise sauce and crispy onions for my birthday. You think that was too much to ask? Oh no, we don't have that. I ended up eating a tremendous lamb shank. But this week he's got what you love. The grilled ribeye with the béarnaise sauce and crispy onions on it. And I thought, son of a bitch. I can't go out and eat again. I spent too much money last week.
Nice. All right, sir. Yeah. First of all, good to hear your voice again. And your birthday's today?
No, it was last Friday, a week ago.
So,
22nd.
Are you still celebrating it today? What? How did this all happen?
No, I'm probably going to have a cocktail when I hang up, though. I figure once I hit 75, it's balls to the wall. I'm just going to partay.
Nice.
Until I get called.
Nice. There you go. All right, man. Happy birthday. Thanks for... You know, again, I didn't really plan the whole entrepreneurship thing, but after last night, you see all these people that have started different endeavors. Some are nonprofits, some are for-profit. And, you know, I will tell you, it's a different way of living when your passion,
yes,
when your passion is your business. Not everybody can do it, but when it is, it's... And you can make it go... it's cool, but it might take you a while, and you might have to eat shit, but as long as you don't mind eating a little shit, there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, man, the results are tremendous.
Right.
We'll see.
Right. Hi, bud. Thanks for the visit.
Good to talk to you. I'd sure like to talk to you during the week sometime.
Well, yep. When you figure out that your phone calls, I know. When you figure out that your phone calls out, too, then we will.
Well... Then you're going to hear from me. Are you going to be in D.C. tomorrow?
I'll be flying home. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, I'll call you.
All right.
Tomorrow, Sunday.
There you
watch the basketball. College basketball. It's pretty great. Good kicking in.
Yeah, I've been so busy. I haven't even watched one of those games. Not one.
Oh, yeah. There's some good ones.
Baseball started yesterday. I watched a little bit of the Yankee game. But anyway.
Oh, good. Yeah. The Twins actually won opening day.
You don't like the Twins. The Dodgers hit 8 home runs. I thought you were going to say that. Why are you talking about the Twins? I thought you were a Dodger guy.
I just wanted to give the local guys
a little love.
Dodgers 8 home runs yesterday?
You didn't know that. And you call yourself a Dodgers fan.
I call myself. I haven't even read the paper today. I went to the Y when I got up, and then I just came home. I haven't even read the paper.
What an embarrassment. Look at the box score, for God's sake.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. I will talk to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it. The one and only Pete Kimble Holmes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Nielsen going to join us. Today is Vietnam Veterans Day. Yeah. They get their own day for some reason. The rest of us eat shit, right? Yeah. How about that? All right. So, with that said, Nielsen coming on next here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.